And I'm glad that all of you are joining us from your houses. Please invite your friends to join us as well, family members, and we shall be blessed together to the glory of the name of the Lord. This morning, I would like us to look into the Word of God from the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 16 to 19. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. The Bible reads, "I trembled inside when I heard this. My lips quivered with fear. My legs gave way beneath me, and I shook in terror. I will wait quietly for the coming day when disaster will strike the people who invade us. Even though the fig tree have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fails, and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." For the choir director, this prayer is to be accompanied by stringed instruments. In the parenthesis there, praise be to the name of the Lord. Please, let us pray together. Lord, we are so grateful for your faithfulness this morning. Thank you, Lord, for every individual, every member, everyone who is watching right now, who have set their hearts, oh God, to worship you today and to listen to your word. I pray that, Holy Spirit, may you open our ears and minister to us, oh God, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen. Now, this morning, I would like to talk about what I've entitled, "When All Seems to Fail." When all seems to fail. Now, reading from this portion of scripture, all the complaints that the prophet had begins in chapter 1. Now, we need to understand that Habakkuk comes out as a unique prophet in this context. Why am I saying this? That is unique. It is typically known that when prophets are talked about in the Old Testament or in the Bible in general, we hear that prophets usually, their duty is to take the word of God and declare it to the people as the prophets, as the prophecies, as well as the oracles. Now, in the context of Habakkuk, it is different. Habakkuk is taking his personal hopelessness, is taking his personal crisis before God. Now, why are these crises coming about in the life of this prophet? The Bible is telling us in the beginning chapter, just to give you an overview about the entire book of Habakkuk, we see that Habakkuk is concerned. He looks at the kingdom of Judah, at the people of Judah, and he sees that there is violence in the land. There is injustice. He sees that there is bloodshed. There is idol worship. And yet people continues to prosper. So this was troubling him as a prophet. He was like, why is it that these things are happening? And also, is God not seeing? Where is the fairness of God? Why is God not coming down to punish the evil that is going on in the land? So he took that complaint to God. He had that crisis because he began, when we go in chapter 1, we are going to hear that Habakkuk is addressing God as the holy God. So the crisis was, God, if you are holy and eternal, if you are all-powerful, this is your nature. Why are you allowing wickedness to prevail if you are a holy God? And if you are the God who is all-powerful, why are you allowing all this wickedness to continue in the land? Why can't you come down and pass judgment upon the people? Why can't you resolve this? The Bible tells us that he had, of course, though he was in crisis, he decided to go before God in prayer. He presented his complaints before the Lord. And the Bible tells us that God answered him. Now, one would have hoped to say the answer that God was going to bring him was going to bring comfort to him. But on the contrary, it is the answer that caused more wrestling of the thoughts, more hopelessness. God answered by telling him to say, okay, no problem, my servant, my prophet, I am going to deal with the wickedness of the kingdom of Judah in a way that I am going to assign a more wicked nation of Babylon to come and invade Judah. This became another problem with the prophet. He looked at it to say, Lord, this is unfair. This does not make sense, because how can you assign a nation more wicked than we to bring judgment, to punish us? We seem to be better than those people. And we can see in chapter 1 how the aggression of Babylon is described. The Bible says that he will come. You know, the horses are swifter than the leopards. That is the description. And also, the charioteers, you know, they advance and they bend for nothing but for war, to wipe out their enemies. And then they are like wolves at dusk. This is the impending judgment that was going to come. So this made the prophet of God more perplexed. And therefore, he decided to bring this complaint again, the second one, before God, to say, Lord, this is unfair. Why should you allow a more wicked nation to invade us? And eventually, we are going to see the paradigm shift. We are going to see that after the first complaint, God gives him an answer. He presents another complaint. God gives him an answer. The final answer that Habakkuk received, it is an answer that was favorable and reasonable to him, which helped him to stand his feet in his faith, which made his faith to be unshakable. It is the answer that made him to transition from crisis into praise of the Lord. And then it begins with the beautiful words that I've just read here. Is now addressing God, you know, is praising the Lord of his mighty and power. In verse 16, where I said that first he trembled after he heard this answer of God, that God was going to send Babylon to bring judgment. And then he moves from there. In verse 17, where he says that though the fig tree does not blossom, though there are no grapes in the vines, though the crops fails, the fields lie empty and barren, though the flocks dies in the fields, and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Now, let's just look at this for a minute. When we hear the description that Habakkuk is bringing about the crops failing, we know that at this time, Israel was depending on agriculture as their source of economy. Now, we need to understand that this description that is coming about, if this was to come, the crops fails, the sheep, you know, the cattle dies and everything fails, it meant that hunger was going to follow. Economic crisis was going to follow. People would die, even though the remnant would die. But this man is saying, though these things may take place, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. That is the paradigm shift of faith which he attained at this time. Now, in the same way, today, you and me, we may be experiencing the same crisis. We've been experiencing so many things happening, especially this year, 2020. We've seen how the pandemic has been ravaging the world, how people have been sick. Others have lost their loved ones. It's everywhere. You know, every nation has experienced the sting of this pandemic, of the COVID-19. And there is uncertainty everywhere. People have lost their jobs. So many things have been happening. And in the U.S., it was also followed by the protest and so on and so forth. In all these things, the world has been asking the church, the world has been asking the believers to say, if God is all powerful, where is his power? If God is holy, why is he allowing all these things to go on? Why can't he just wipe out the coronavirus once and for all? Others are getting tempted to think that God is not powerful. That is not a problem, you know. If you are wrestling like that, you are in the right path to the greater understanding. Just like the prophet, he had the same problem. During his time, he was also wrestling. He was juggling here and there, trying to find the answer. And eventually, he had the answer. Even you might be thinking that God is not at work. God has not left any of us. Just as Jesus promised when he was going into heaven, that go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and behold, I'm with you to the very end. Jesus is with us. God is with us. Even in the midst of the coronavirus, God is still with us. Just as Pastor Michael has been preaching, you know, he mentioned something to say, God is working out the deeper works in our lives in this very season. Is doing something great in our lives. I remember he was mentioning something to say, we should not wait to say, okay, I'll begin to pray, you know, when this ban is lifted, when we are back in church, you know, right now I'm going on a break. No, we need to seek God all the more in this very season. That is what God wants, because in the crisis such as this, that is where the deeper and mighty works of God are revealed. Hallelujah. I want us to be encouraged today that your job may have failed because of this season. Maybe your finances may have failed you. Maybe relationships may have failed. Marriages may be shaking right now as we are talking. Maybe you have had that child who has been wayward. You know, you've tried by all means, you've been praying, and nothing seemed to be happening. You've tried all you can and everything seemed like they are falling apart. I'm here to encourage you this morning that the Lord is in charge. You just need to focus upon him. Bring all the doubts. Bring all the uncertainties. Bring all the fears that you have before the Lord. Bring all the depressions that you have before him. And he is going to answer. And also the Bible is talking about waiting. The prophet said, I will wait patiently to hear what answer he will give me. And for sure, as the Bible says, that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The answer came. Even you and me today, the answer is going to come. And the Lord is going to uplift our faith. The Lord is going to encourage us. One thing that we need to do is to rejoice in the Lord. In all the circumstances that we are going through, may we learn to rejoice in the Lord. Look at this man, the prophet. He rejoiced in the Lord and even made sure to say, this should be a song to the director of music. It must be accompanied by the musical instruments. Hallelujah. Meaning that it should be sung for generations. It should be the song for the church. So today, I am bringing this song to each one of us. Yes, things may have failed in this season, yet we shall rejoice in the Lord. We will rejoice in the God of our salvation. And then he says something interesting, that the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the hinds' feet, or like the feet of the deer, to tread upon the heights. Now, when I was reading this portion of scripture, the last part of verse 19, I had this image, you know, of going back into the village where I grew up from. Being a hunter, we used to go in the bush to hunt animals. And one of the interesting animals that I was able to hunt was the wild goat, or the mountain goat, so to say. And this mountain goat, it is very sophisticated. Once it is chased by the dogs, it runs faster than one can think of. It is able to jump and moving into the rocks, you know, here and there, and it will disappear. Or if it is to hide, it will go in a place where it is like a valley, whereby once it hides like there, when dogs are chasing it unknowingly, they might even fall into the valley. So it even sets trap, the traps. It is a wise animal. So I was just having that picture. I was thinking of the swiftness of that animal when it is running, or even the gazelle or the deer when it is running. The swiftness. This is the description which the prophet said, that the sovereign Lord is my strength. You know, it causes me to dread upon the heights. What this entails is that the sovereign Lord is also our strength today. When calamity comes, when challenges comes, when problems comes, like we've been facing different problems, as we put our trust in the Lord, things may seem not to be working. Yet as we praise the Lord, as we worship Him, the Bible is telling us that He's going to be our strength. And He will give us strength to even go above our problems. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19, that from the west, the name of the Lord shall be revered. From the rising of the sun, the Bible tells us that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And when the enemy comes in like the flood, the Spirit of the living God shall raise a standard against him. Which means that when the troubles, when the chaos of this world is raging upon us, God will raise a standard. As we worship Him, as we continue to trust in Him, He will raise a standard. He will give us so much faith that we'll be able to soar above the troubles. And our focus will not be on what is going on in the world, but our focus will be on God. Now, what I mean here, I'm not saying that we should live in denial, whereby we are living in denial and refusing the reality, you know, pretending as if the coronavirus is not there or all these things are not happening. No. What I'm saying is that we need to acknowledge that, yes, this is the season, but this season has not come to break us. Instead, it has come to make us more formidable as the children of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you today that whatever in your life may seemingly, you know, be crumbling, whatever that seems to be falling apart, as you put your trust in the Lord, as you praise and worship the Lord, God is going to perform miracles. And after this season has passed, we shall see many testimonies. We shall hear of many testimonies. We shall see great revival that the Lord is going to bring all over the world in the church. Hallelujah. I want us also to understand, you know, when we are talking about praising the Lord in the storm, sometimes it looks impossible. Maybe some of you might be questioning to say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. You know, I've experienced hard life. I've experienced things. Each one of us has experienced our crisis in different capacities. But our focus must not be on that crisis. Our focus must be on the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to focus on the Lord. And the Bible gives us examples. A good example which is common is that of Job. In chapter 13, verse 15, after Job had lost all he had, his family, his wealth and everything. He said a powerful phrase that I always think about to say, Lord, can I still say this when it was, if it was upon my life? The man said, though he slays me, yet will I trust in him, and I will wait upon him so that I can present my cause before him. Though he slays me, yet shall I trust in him. How many of us this morning can stand and declare that statement when we are passing through hard things? This is the question that we need to answer, each one of us. Can we stand boldly and declare to say, though I am going through all these things that I'm going through, yet I will praise the Lord? This can only be done through an act of faith. Hallelujah. We see another example in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us about the Apostle Paul and Silas. When they were imprisoned, they had been beaten. They were bleeding. They were in pain. They were in shackles. But in the midst of the night, they did not focus on the trouble, on the beatings, on the persecution that they were facing. They focused on the Lord. They began to praise and worship the Lord. They were not even praying to say, Lord, deliver us. But they were zealous for the Lord, worshiping and praising him. And the Bible tells us that the power of God came down and broke open the doors, and the chains were put asunder. When the guard on duty saw what was going on, the Bible says that he stood and he removed the sword and he was about to commit suicide, because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul told him to say, no, do not take your life. We are all here. And that very night, to cut the long story short, that man became a Christian. He received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. I'm here to encourage us this morning that whatever circumstance that you may be going through, please learn to rejoice in the Lord. It might be difficult, I understand. It is not an easy thing. It is easy said than done. But through faith and the strength of the Lord, we are able to do it. You can start slowly, bit by bit. And as you charge, the power of the Spirit of God is going to be upon you. The anointing will be upon you. You will feel that courage, and the burden will be lifted. You break through, and you even feel the power of God all over your life, all over your family. This is my prayer this morning, that may we shift from that crisis of complaining. Because most of the times we tend to be good at complaining. Instead of bringing our complaints and concerns to God, we'll only be complaining and talking about them to others. Let's do something different today. Instead of complaining, let us present them in form of prayer to God. And may we sing of God's greatness. Look at what Habakkuk did. The Bible shows us that he was able to trace God's faithfulness. He traced God's testimonies, the landmarks, to say, look, Lord, you are the God who opened up the sea for the children of Israel to pass. You are the God who provided for them. So he went on and on. You are the God who defeated the Canaanites. You are the God who caused the sun to stand still. The other dynamic which he employed was to go in the past and to be able to trace God's faithfulness throughout his life, throughout the life of Israel and Judah. And then after that, he even said, even today in our contemporary, Lord, you are faithful to revive us. Do it again in our lifetime. This should be our prayer, to say, Lord, the very faithfulness that you've manifested, that we've heard of in the Bible, do it in our lives. Not only in the Bible, because that sounds to be very far away. Look at your personal life. Remember, think about the good things that God has done in your life. And then, beginning with those things, praise his holy name. Begin to worship him. Begin to thank him. And you see him coming down and elevating you in spirit, elevating you in faith to the glory of his name. Hallelujah. Just like the prophet Habakkuk, he was wondering, where is God? Is he around? Is he seeing the unfairness? Is he seeing the wickedness? Where is God? You might be in that position today. I want you to know that God is not annoyed. God does not get angry when you are in that state and you are presenting your complaints, your requests before him. The Bible shows us that Habakkuk, as he was doing that, God was receiving his complaints and answering him. He was giving answers to him. He didn't cut him off to say, no, you are not supposed to ask me about these things. He's our loving Father. Hallelujah. Whatever burden that is upon your heart, present it to God. And God will be able to come through. He will come through. He will answer you. He will strengthen you. He will encourage you. He will uplift your soul. He will uplift your spirit. Even the things that you might have lost in this course of this season, as you trust and believe in God, he's going to answer you by fire in Jesus' name. I am a testimony personally. I know what I'm talking about. Last March, I was celebrating 21 years of being a Christian. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And I have seen God's faithfulness. They are landmarks, spiritual landmarks, that I can point to one by one and see how God has been faithful. Now, by saying that, I'm not trying to sound a hero or maybe somebody who is like above all the issues. As the church, you know, my faith, you know my testimonies. You know, I don't need to go in details about so many things. You know me already. I have also had troubles. I have also experienced crisis, you know. But one thing I did was to look to God, to trust God. Hallelujah. And God sent help through his word, by speaking to me, through the Spirit of God, through others. So I want you to be encouraged as well today that look to God. Things may seem to be failing right now, but yet you must trust in the Lord and rejoice in the Lord. By doing so, you see God moving and working out miracles. I've seen God in my life. You know, I can just say one testimony right now. After I completed my grade 9, you know, it became very difficult for me to go in school because my dad had just stopped working. And then I tried. I was young. I was a teenager. I tried by all means, you know, with all my power and strength to go to school, to the 10th grade. It couldn't work. And then I had two schools that were I had in mind where I wanted to go, because those are prominent schools. We were talking, you know, with my friends in junior high to say, this is the school I'm going to, this is the school. But when that time came, my friends went to those schools, but me, there was no money. I kept on troubling my dad to say, Dad, you are my dad, you need to do something. I need to go to any of these schools. It did not work. At that moment, I had the crisis. I was like, why is it that things are not working out? You know, I started complaining. I remember that is around the time when I even dropped off from going to church, you know, close to 1 year. I had so many challenges as a teenager. You know, I looked at my friends. They were going to church with their family members, with their fathers, with their mothers. But me, I was the only one. A young boy going to church. I'm leaving my mom and my dad home. I was like, hey, I think this is not for me. You know, I looked at so many areas. Things were not working out. I said, maybe I'm not doing the right thing, or maybe God is not seeing me. Maybe I'm just wasting my time. But one thing that I did not know is that God was working out something in my life, in my family as well. He had not abandoned us. And then the time came when Dad found the money to take me to school. I was like, yes, now he's taking me to my schools of choice. On the contrary, Dad advised me to say, you need to go to this school which is nearby. I didn't like that school. I said, no. Because the reason was very simple. That school, the senior high, 10 to 12, they were going in the afternoons, all of them. So it was an open secondary. I said, no. Why should I go to an open secondary? I want to go to the high school, original, not the open secondary, whereby we'll be going in the afternoons. No. But little did I know that God had a purpose for me to go to that school. So many things happened in that school which have been testimonies and a part of my Christian journey. Another biggest one, which I always thank God for, is the gift of my wife, Mary. It is at that very school, that's where we met. Praise God. Hallelujah. We met at that school, and we happened to be sitting next to each other. Even after we graduated, we became friends for 8 years, and the story is well known as it is right now. Glory be to God. So I was resisting God's will. But little did I know that God was working out something greater, which I am able to appreciate today after I look back. Even you today, there may be things that you may not be able to understand. You are wondering. You think that God is not answering. God is not there. God is not helping. I'm here to encourage you that one day you look back and praise God to say, thank you, Lord, that I went through what I went through. And you are going to be a testimony and an encouragement to many others, to the glory of the name of the Lord. Therefore, we must rejoice. All may fail, yet we must rejoice in the Lord. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. That is how much He loves us. So remember that in all things, even in the COVID-19, God is in charge and is working out everything for good to those who love Him. He's working out everything for good. And later we'll be able to understand. We may not comprehend everything right now. And there is nothing that can separate us from His love. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 37, that no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who first loved us. Through Christ who loved us. What are these things? The Apostle Paul is describing, shall death separate us from the love of Christ? Shall persecution, shall angels, shall the height, the depth, all those things? He concluded to say, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ, who first loved us. In the same way as the prophet concluded, Habakkuk, he concluded to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. And I will dread on the heights. May the Lord today give you the grace in Jesus' name. I'm going to pray right now, very quickly, for all of us. You may be going through things right now and your faith has been shaking, just like that of the prophet. I'm here to pray right now. Wherever you are in that house, you may just lift up your hand right now and believe with me right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray right now by the power and the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that, Lord, every man or woman, every child, oh God, who's been going through different thoughts, crisis, Almighty God, hopelessness, depression, Almighty God, different things because of what has been going on right now. I pray by the power of the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let there be strength. Let there be comfort. Let answers come, Almighty God. May you reveal yourself to them, O Lord, that they may know that you are the God who is able and you are more than able in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray right now by the power of your holy name, that, oh God, May you strengthen your children. Come to our aid, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Reveal yourself in your mighty and powerful way, O God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for healing for all those that are sick. They've been praying. You've been praying and you've been thinking that God is not answering. I stand with you in prayer right now that let healing come upon you in the name of Jesus. All those that have been believing God for the salvation of their family members, I pray that, Lord, let your light shine upon those family members in the name of Jesus. All those that have been struggling in their marriages, those that have been having children that have been going wayward by the power of the enemy, I declare deliverance. I speak freedom right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare divine protection of the blood of Jesus Christ. Those that have been looking for marriages, I pray right now by the power of the Spirit of God, let the anointing be upon you right now. May the Lord reveal the destined partner of your life in Jesus' name. Those that have been believing God for children, you are in marriage and you are believing God for children, I pray right now with you that, Lord, O God of mercy, may you answer them by fire in Jesus' mighty name. Bless them, Almighty God. Everyone who has been believing you for anything, O God, that is in your will, I pray with them that, Holy Spirit, reveal yourself, because you are the God who is able and you are more than able. You did it in the past. Testimonies are recorded in the Bible. Testimonies are recorded in our lives. Even in this season, in this time, Lord, in our generation, you will answer us to the glory of your name. In Jesus' mighty name, Son of the living God, we thank you and pray. Amen and amen. May the Lord bless you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he revive your faith right now. And may he clear out every uncertainty that has been over your life, so that you may begin to rejoice and glorify his holy name. You may begin to write that song, to praise him with stringed instruments. Or if you don't know how to play music, just begin to sing to the Lord. Hallelujah. And as we are doing this, this is the act of faith, regardless of what is on the ground. And I can guarantee you that the God that I've been serving all this time, who has proved himself mighty and powerful in my life and my family, he will do the same to you. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. The Lord bless you and favor you and keep you safe. Amen and amen.